been singing this song for a while. How many of you guys, you're kind of struggling. How many of you guys remember that song? All right. Well, then we'll bring it back into the rotation. It's a great, great song. This morning we are going to talk about Thanksgiving, the importance of Thanksgiving, the importance of giving thanks. You know, it's interesting because the scripture is filled. You know, I just typed in my software and the idea of thanks and giving thanks just gives. So many returns, the scripture is just filled with that idea of thanksgiving and how important it is for us to give thanks to a God who's worthy of it. Thessalonians tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. And sometimes I think we get so used to what we have that we are no longer thankful for it. I shared with you guys before, many years ago, had an opportunity to go down to Ecuador on a missions trip. And it's really the first time I've been, you know, I went to Canada, but that's really not out of the country. It's just kind of like, you know, not too different from here. The numbers are just different on the speed limit, right? But other than that, but we're down to Ecuador, a totally different culture. And I've seen the poverty that was there just really had an impact. You'd go down and the people did not have much. It's interesting, because I had a child with me, we stayed on the campus, on the compound of the missions. Some of the other ones actually stayed with families. They had families that would invite them to come and stay in their house with them. And one of the couples came back the next day and they're like, yeah, he goes, you know, we were out doing various things during the day and we came back at night. And they said, yeah, he goes, they gave us a little bowl, and in the bowl was a little piece of, they thought was chicken, and a little potato and some veggie that they didn't quite recognize. And they were just talking about, you know, they came up the next day and they said, you know, we're starving, and we had breakfast at the compound. And they're like, yeah, they didn't really give us much after all that day. They just gave us this little bowl. And they're kind of griping about, you know, what they got. And missionary said, well, you guys were staying with so-and-so, right? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, let me ask you. He goes, did they eat with you? And they're like, well, no. We just presume that they ate before we got there, right? And he goes, let me tell you, this family, they probably gave you all the food that they had. They didn't have anything. And the look, it was like all of a sudden this realization of, you know, because my idea, I don't know about you, but, you know, you get hungry in the middle of the night and you open up the fridge and you're like, oh, there's nothing in here, right? Open the cupboards up. Oh, hon, you know, there's nothing here. Meanwhile, you're pushing all the stuff aside, trying to find something that you want, right? And so the abundance that we have. And actually, this couple turned around and learned to be so thankful because they didn't even realize that the family they were having, that is all they had. And they were giving all that they had. And so much so that they were going without to allow these people. And the missionary, he goes, we actually offered to provide food to them to help you guys. And they're like, no, we want to give them our guests. We want to take care of them. And so they're giving them all that they had, the best that they had. And we're just so spoiled. We really are. You know, go down to the grocery store. And I don't know if you guys have been to the New Edwards in Searsport. I was like, all right. I am not a grocery store kind of guy. I avoid them, right? I mean, I got married so I don't have to go in the grocery stores. Well, not just so. I mean, no, there's other reasons. Don't turn this into something bad. That's not what I... Anyways, moving on. Help me out, Paul. Help me. He's like, you're on your own. You're on your own. Anyways, I went to Edwards, and it was just packed full of people. And the last time I was in there, over the last owners, there was, there was just nothing on the shelves. And to see it packed with all the items. And, I was like, wow, we are blessed. And in every situation to give thanks. We're told in Psalms to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And to be thankful to him and bless his name. As we come before the Lord with thankful hearts for all that's going on. And we can turn around and talk about God's blessings in our lives. And we truly have more than we need. You know, if God just gave us what we need, it'd be enough. But how many of us has God given us some of our wants along the way? To be thankful for. Psalms tells us, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. As we live in this world, to be thankful, and God is so good to us. To appreciate all that he has given us, all he has done for us. I just want to point out, just real quick, just a few of the victories of the scripture gives out. In Exodus chapter 15, we have Israel, who are slaves for 400 years. God leads them, brings them to the Red Sea and splits the Red Sea and leads them into freedom. And the Israel army comes in behind them and God wipes them all out. And Exodus 15, we have them on the other side of the Red Sea. Israel is rejoicing in the freedom that they have, in the deliverance that God has. Victory over our enemies. The Bible tells us of 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. And leprosy was a horrible disease at that time because it separated you from your friends and from your families. And Jesus comes along and heals 10 of them and sends them off. And yet the Bible tells us that one came back, only one, and said, thanks. And some of us can go around this year and talk about the blessings that God has seen us through sickness, through health issues, through struggles, through surgeries. Some of you are welcoming the new year with new parts. Mended bones. Actually, this morning I was up here right before everything started, and I noticed something. I haven't heard a single cough this morning. Now, I said that now, and I was like, But just even a few weeks ago, how many coughs were going on, right? Some of you guys had that like two-month-long cold thing that was going around, right? Some of you had gone through your first bout or second bout or third bout of COVID, let alone all the hospital visits. And God saw you through all those health issues along the way. The Bible tells us of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. When God delivered a giant named Goliath into the hands of a young boy. That insurmountable object that no one wanted to take on. And yet David, through the strength of the Lord, conquered that, right? Maybe there's some this year that you were victorious over. Maybe there's that giant in your life that God finally got off. Maybe there was that monkey on your back that you finally, through God's strength, delivered from. Maybe this year will be different from any other. Maybe this is the year that you really said, you know what? I want to live for the Lord. I don't want to go back to what we were. We had a testimony this morning how God can change someone over a course of a few years is following him and finding the deliverance that we have in Christ and the victories we can have that. Hebrews chapter 11 tells about these things and kind of encourages us through scripture, right? Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. It talks about all the heroes of the scriptures. And he wraps this up of, you know, trying to cover those that he hadn't talked about yet. And he says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Also of David and Samuel and the prophets, all who through faith subdued kingdoms. Worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong and became valiant in battle, turned to the flight the enemies of the aliens, and women received their dead, raised to life again. Think of that song, Oh, Victory in Jesus, right? My Savior forever. And maybe in your life you're at that one of those points where you're on the mountaintops, right? We think of our lives, we're in the valleys and things are rough, but sometimes we're at the mountaintop where things are good. Things have fallen into place. You're seeing God work. He's delivering. He's answering your prayers. And you're kind of like, woohoo! Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness through all these things. And if you're on that mountaintop, praise God for that. And I don't want to take away anything from that, right? As I was going through, if you look at the title in the bulletin, I put The Sacrifice of Praise. Because I'm going to look on the flip side of that. But as I was looking at, maybe you're not on the mountaintop, maybe you're in the valley. And it seems like every year I become more aware of people who are just struggling. That maybe this isn't the most wonderful time of the year. We're heading into Thanksgiving. And everyone's off doing their own thing and gathering with families, and maybe you're alone. Maybe you look back and the better days seem to be behind you than in front of you. But I wanted to send the first part of this acknowledging I don't want to take away from anyone who is genuinely on the mountaintop this morning. And you're climbing and things are going well. Praise God for that. But the flip side of this is this idea of a sacrifice of praise. This is taken out of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That term of phrase, I'm sure I've talked about this because I always found this an interesting sort of oxymoron, if you will. Because giving thanks and being praising God comes from a heart of overflowing joy. Like, woohoo, right? And you can't contain it anymore. All this goodness is upon God. And it's easy to praise God when things are going well. But in Hebrews, they link it to this term, sacrifice of praise. I find that interesting. Romans tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. As we give our lives to the Lord, Lord, I am yours. Right? That's part of the deal. Lord, my life is not my own anymore. Now I live for you. I trust in you. I will follow you. It says here that's our reasonable service. If Christ died for us, forgave us of our sins, what else can we do but give Him ourselves? And say, Lord, I belong to you. And even that's not enough. And it's our reasonable response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Lord, here I am. But this idea of sacrifice, I took a moment and looked. There it goes. I took a moment and looked up the term. I don't know if you can read that. I'll read it for you. Actually, the last one, it says, the act of killing an animal or a person and offering them to a god or gods. I don't recommend that, all right? But the tune of sacrifice, I want to look at the first one. It says to give something up that has value to you in order to help another person. To give up something of value. The Bible talks about a sacrifice of bringing a lamb. And it wasn't just the leftover lamb. It wasn't the lame lamb. It was the perfect lamb of a certain age. It was at its peak. It was at its best. It was at its most valuable of taking and giving that up. You know, this morning we took up our tithes and our offerings, and I think those are things that belong to God. And I give it to Him because it belongs to Him. But sometimes we give sacrificially. We give it hurts. We give when I could use this for myself. I had other plans for this. And God, you want me to give that. And so I give it up. But it's painful. I'm like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to. I think it's funny. I have a gentleman we used to know that always talked about for Lent of giving up something. You're supposed to give up something that's a sacrifice, something that you like. And every year he talks about giving up Diet Coke. And that's his big thing. I give up Diet Coke. The thing is, he doesn't drink Diet Coke. So he's giving up something that didn't cost him anything. That's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is giving something of value, something that's hard for you to do this. And so you bring these two together, it's finding interesting. You have a sacrifice of praise, of praising God when it costs you something. Of praising God when you don't feel like it. Praising God when it's hard for you. And we're called to give up a sacrifice of praise. And maybe this year hasn't been an easy year. I know just within our congregation, we've had a lot of health issues, a lot of struggles, there's been loss. And yet in the midst of all of that, we got to say, God, thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. To offer up a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 11, we talked about all the victories, right? It's interesting because this passage continues on. And it talks about those who have struggled. Those who have suffered loss. And they're still considered heroes of the faith because they walked with God in their loss and never lost their faith. Look what it says, Hebrews 11. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Then they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world is not worthy. They wander in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. It's interesting, from a world point of view, we see all these kind of the failures. But it says the world's not even worthy of these ones. Of keeping the faith through the struggles. Of keeping our eyes on the Lord when it's hard, when it's dark. The pressing forward when you just want to lay down and give up. We have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. These things are all elements of that sacrifice of praise. That Lord, you are worthy of it. No matter the struggles we go through. And sometimes as a church, like I said, I didn't want to overlook those who are being victorious and joyful. I don't want to take that away from you. If God has put you on a mountaintop, enjoy the view. But I want you to understand that in this world we will have tribulation and we will have struggle. But God's still worthy to be praised. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. As a Christians, we have a hope beyond this world. You know, it was interesting. I was watching the election results. Now, my wife and I were talking and said, you know, what happens if things go differently? What's going to happen? And you know what? God's still worthy to be praised. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. And I will still serve him no matter what. And I don't want to be insensitive because I think sometimes as Christians, we're just called to kind of suck it up. Right? We're afraid to let people know that we're struggling because that's not spiritual. I'm thankful that this is a church where I think people are honest. That we don't all have it together. And sometimes we're hurting. And you've been there too. See, church isn't a place for perfect people. We're imperfect. But we serve a perfect God. You know, have you ever had anyone tell you while you're going through the hard time, you're in the valley, well, God won't ever give you more than you can handle? You ever been told that? And you're like, I'm going down. It's okay. You know, no, do understand. I'm going down the third time. I'm glugging here. And everyone's like, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. Can I tell you something that's not biblical? Actually, Apostle Paul, I want to encourage you in misery sometimes this morning. Paul tells the Corinthians, as he starts off his letter, says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia. Right? Paul was out and he was ministering and he was getting arrested. He was being chased. He was being stoned. Things were rough. In the midst of this, what would take place in Asia was over and above what he has already faced. That's what he says. I don't want to be ignorant, brethren, for our troubles which came to us in Asia. That we were burned, what? Beyond measure. Above strength. So we despaired even of life. This is the Apostle Paul saying, you know what? We were tested beyond what we could do. It was too much. And maybe in this year you have struggled with things that were just too much. Grief that cut too deep. The struggle, the head you held under. God understands. In the book of Philippians, Paul shares, this is, I do not speak in regards to need, for I have learned whatever state I am to be content, to know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't do it, but you have a God that can. And a testimony in my life, and I'm sure in many of your lives, people say, oh, you were so brave and so tough, so faithful to get through it. And you're like, I did nothing. God just brought me through. He is faithful. He is the one that can keep you from falling. It's too much. It's too hard. Give it to the Lord. And you can be thankful that you are not walking through these things alone. I got three people this morning I want to look at. First one is David. Well, you know, we talked David and Goliath. Well, let me tell you something. David had struggles along the way as well. David had consequences of his sin. Maybe what you're going through in this life is because of the consequences of the mistakes you've made. In 2 Samuel, David, you know, his sin with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. And the child was born. And the child was sick and was dying. And David mourned, called out to the Lord. and the child died. And David picked himself up and asked for something to eat. And this is what David said. And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? No, I shall go to him. He was not returned to me.'" And David thanked the Lord for the promise. And that promise, in this case, is that I'll see this one again. All Christianity changes everything, doesn't it? I'm thankful heaven is a place we're going to spend a lot of time, because there's a lot of loved ones who are gone on before that I can't wait to see again. And we see this. And even though David messed up, God was gracious and never left him. See, Hebrews tells us, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives." And maybe you're suffering the consequences of your mistakes. God has not loved you any less. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgives our sin and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad God gives us a second chance? Second one is Job. You know the story of Job. Satan came before Job, before God, and said, "Hey, I've been going to and fro," and God's like, "Hey, have you seen Job? He's a righteous man. He's a man who loves me." And Satan was like, "Yeah, but let me add him. He'll turn on you." And God said, "Go ahead." And within one day, Job lost everything. That was enough. Satan comes back and says, "Look, let me touch his health." And God says, "Go ahead. Just don't kill him." The Bible talks about he was covered with boils. Job was overcome by the circumstances of life. And maybe the struggle that you're in, the valley that you're in, isn't because of anything you have done. It's just the circumstances of your life. You know, maybe you've reached a point where you get up and go, with God up and left. Or physically, you're paying for those stupid things you did when you were younger. And now you have the aches and pains and the worn down parts. Maybe the economy. The struggles. All are things outside of your control. And maybe just life is just dumped on you. I want to take a look at what Job says. "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell on the ground in worship, and he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be your name.'" The song we sing this morning is taken out of this passage. "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. All the circumstances in your life that you have no control over, trust in a God who's there every step of the way. God has not promised to deliver us from every storm, but he has promised to be in the boat with us every step of the way. And even though we cannot see him, he is always there. Blessed be the Lord. Even though everyone else will forsake you, and no one else cares, and they dump on you, God never will. Thank him. Be thankful." Lastly, Paul and Silas. We talk about Paul preaching and things got tough. In this case, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. They were beaten for their testimony of Christ. And maybe this morning you're suffering because of your faith of the Lord. Maybe as you come into the holidays, You got to face the family. Now, there's a whole thing out there. Have you guys seen this? Where they're saying because of the election and families are torn apart with Republicans and Democrats, that you should ostracize your family and not get together with them. Hogwash. That's a Greek term, hogwash, right? Now, we are called to love, and we need each other. But genuinely, there are people who suffer because of their faith, because of their stance on the Lord. And because of that, aren't welcome. Because of that, take persecution. Maybe you've been unfriended. Maybe you've been picked on because you choose Christ. Paul and Silas, Acts 16. It says, when he had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul could have said, woe is me. But instead he said, praise the Lord. We're told, don't think it strange concerning the fire trials in which try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you're suffering this morning because of your stand for Christ, blessed are you. Count it a blessing that they seek enough of Jesus in you, that when they are rejecting you, they're not rejecting you, but rejecting him. Though the whole world turns away, let me stand for Christ. So this morning, no matter what circumstances you are in, whether you're on the mountaintop, praise God for his goodness. Praise him for your blessings. All those things. Rejoice. Fill your heart with thanksgiving. Maybe this morning you're in the valley and it seems dark. I want to reassure you, the Lord is there. The Bible says, yea, though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. In the struggle, in the difficulties, lift your voice and praise to God. Because he is faithful and will never leave you nor forsake you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. A sacrifice of praise. Maybe it's with a broken voice and a low whisper that you're just like, Lord, thank you. The old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful grace, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Look to Jesus and be thankful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, the encouragement that we can have. Lord, I acknowledge this morning that some are just struggling this morning. And the world has them down, Lord. Help them lift their eyes and realize that you have overcome the world. Lord, help them realize they are not walking alone, but you are by their side. That through you, Lord, we can do whatever you has laid before us. Not by our strength, but by yours. Lord, thank you that we may lose it all, but we have you. What else do we need? Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. As you please stand.